Hello, Soul Fam. Welcome back to Intuitively Her podcast, where we talk about personal development, spirituality, metaphysics, and so much more. I'm so excited to have you here. Hello, Soul Fam. Welcome back to Intuitively Her podcast. I have a returning beautiful guest today. Her name is Marisa Reyes. Medicine woman, multidimensional goddess queen that I'm excited to have here today. Hi, Marisa. How are you?
Sister queen.
Sister queen, I love that so much. How are you feeling today?
I'm at wonderful. Great. Yeah. I'm excited to be here in conversation with you, so thank you for the invite.
Thank you. I'm excited to dive deep into all your wisdom and experiences that you've had this past year and on. It's just so inspiring, and I wanted to make sure that I have time to connect with you before you take off on your journey. And I'm diving deep right now already, but just giving you a little rundown. I'm super excited, so let's dive deep. So Marisa, who are you? I know you've been here before, so just a little background of who you are, who you're becoming, what comes to mind.
The last podcast we had together, we were talking more about yoni steaming and the self-love ceremonies. And since then, I still offer that. And there's been a huge transition in terms of my own personal healing. And it's really, truly affected what it is that I'm offering, because it's a lot of internal work that I get to explore. And I'll just share, you know, it was 7 months ago that I received a diagnosis of breast cancer, which was a shocker because I thought I was one of the healthiest people that I knew. And it's really opened up a new way of looking at health. And it's also been a huge reflection on my other offering around my tantric practice. And having studied, what Louise Hay talks about in terms of breast cancer and her connection to the emotions, to these diseases, which I don't necessarily like to even refer to it so much as breast cancer anymore. I've been studying also German New Medicine, which refers to it as breast programming, right? So there's certain programs that we took on as children that create the health journeys that we're on now. And I'm feeling super blessed because of this. It's been an opportunity, a health opportunity, to really start honoring my heart. And so part of honoring the heart has been taking off on this adventure, going to Guatemala and back to Peru. And I was there last year. I was in Costa Rica to study at the International School of Temple Arts, which was in support of my tantric practice. And right after that, went to Guatemala to study my womb massage, and did not want to leave. You know how when you ever go somewhere, there's just strong pull to just stay? That's exactly what happened. I was like, no, I gotta go home. Came home and then just felt a call to go to Peru and do another ISTA training. So I did another level one, which they recommend because there's so many different facilitators and the locations that it's at. It just brings a whole new energy. So I went to Peru, did level one, assisted this time, and again felt that strong pull to stay. And by that time, I had felt a lump in my breast just from self-massage. And sisters, it is absolutely essential that we do consistent breast massages. Because it wasn't the doctor that found it. And it wasn't even, I didn't do a mammogram until later, which I would not recommend. This is my own personal experience in terms of x-rays and radiation. And I decided to come back to get a biopsy, which is what the doctor suggested, which if I could turn back time, I would not have done that biopsy, but I'm glad I did it because that's the reason why I knew it was cancer. And so after returning, I got this diagnosis, and right before I got the phone call, I had told my partner at that time that if this is anything worse than a benign tumor, I'm going back to Peru to do some deep medicine work. Mm. And as soon as I got that phone call, the first thought that came through was like, oh, I get to go back to Latin America. And it's funny because I was in conversation with a sister, a Moondance sister, and she was just like, why did it take for you to get cancer in order to honor that call? And it just had me thinking, like, gosh, how many other times have I had a call to do something but ignored it? So I feel like this health journey is a wake-up call to start listening. And it's been a roller coaster because there have been so many practitioners, from homeopathic doctors to chiropractors to acupuncture, massage, and diets. And, you know, one of the first things I turned to was the fruit diet. And because I spoke to a few women who were like, yeah, fruit diet cured my breast cancer. And was on that for a few months and only experienced growth. So then turned to fasting and fasted for another few months. And that was challenging because it's dry fasting is a whole other experience. And lost an insane amount of weight to the point I was just, I think, scaring everyone around me. And looked anorexic. And so finally I was like, all right, macrobiotics, you know, and just kept hopping from one diet and did ozone and did all the things and realized that I'm listening to everyone outside and what helped support them on their healing process, that I really get to tune in and like listen to my own inner guide. And it's a practice, you know, like I'm still on this journey. And however, I'm feeling so much more grounded and sure of myself that I got this. And it's so easy to just go into that space of fear, and which is why working with a therapist and doing the IFS, interfamily systems, has been really helpful. And I've been working with a spiritual midwife who's helping me give birth to myself, and just seeing all these connections to having my very first 5-MeO experience 2 weeks after I got the diagnosis, where I literally felt like I was giving birth to myself and it was orgasmic, and just saw all the pieces of my life coming together and how perfect everything is, including this health journey. And it just brought this sense of peace in that moment. And of course, you know, the doubt and the fear will sometimes trickle in. And I'm realizing the connections of cancer and the tantric practice. Is tantra is all about weaving, you know, weaving together the breath and the movement and being mindful of our thoughts. And it's the same thing with any health journey, right? Like piecing together all of the things that we hear, and looking into, I've been working with a kinesiologist to like muscle test, like, yeah, that may be great for that person, but what feels right and aligned for my body?
I got chills so many times as you spoke your truth. I could feel it in my body, and thank you for sharing that and for going through all those processes and having patience for yourself and this journey. I think that's absolutely just amazing. Just wanted to reflect that back to you. I literally felt like everything you kept mentioning, because it's your truth, and you could just feel that vibration of that. And like the whole muscle testing, can you share a little bit more about that? Like, what have you learned, and what are like your biggest insights on that, and like maybe how others can use that?
So I have probably 24 supplements that I've collected from different, from homeopathic doctor, from, I was working with a breast cancer coach. She wrote this book called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, Dr. V, and she healed herself of breast cancer twice. And so she has a whole list of supplements that she recommends, you know, from like vitamin C to curcumin to B complex to you know, CoQ10 to help with mitochondria, and for, you know, glutathione, and like so many things. Mm. And I was connected to this kinesiologist who, he was like, bring all of your supplements in and we'll go ahead and muscle test. And it's basically understanding how, like, the body knows what's best for itself. Mm. And there's ways that we can muscle test on ourselves. I prefer to have someone else muscle test me. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to muscle test yourself, I find that one of the easiest ways for me to access is if you're standing up and you've got your feet planted into the ground and you find your center and you connect to this feeling of what's your yes. And you can say something that's truthful. You know, my name is Marisa. And I may feel my body weight slightly leaning forward. If I say something or I connect to what's my no, or I say, my name's Andrea, and you know, I may feel my body weight then lean back. For someone else, their yes may be leaning back, their no be leaning forward. So it's important to gauge what your yes and what your no is. Mm-hmm. And you can just ask a question, or even if there's like a certain food that you want to eat but you're not really sure, you can muscle test it and see, is this what's going to serve for my body and my spirit in this moment? Mm. And there's that. Another way is making a ring with your thumb and pointer. And then you can put your thumb and pointer, like actually like connect these two rings. And one hand, one circle is a little bit stronger, and you can connect to your yes, and it may be hard, it's kind of hard to describe this. I'm sure if you, like, YouTube finger muscle testing, it might, show you how to do it. So a yes will keep those fingers strong, and then a no will make one ring kind of slip out easier than the other. Mm. So... yeah, I went to my kinesiologist and he ruled out about half of my supplements, being like, not aligned for you. Your body's a no to these. And I went through and I looked at them, and the ones that my body were a no to were the ones that were synthetic, which you can tell by when you look at the label, if it has in parentheses and it says as ... and it says some long chemical name. It's basically coming from a synthetic source. Versus maybe something that's like plant-based that you're gonna get from a more natural source.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful that our body can speak to us in that way, and just like getting really intuitive and present with it. Like all these practices that we do, like just adding up into this, like just clarity in your body, and so we're out of our head and more like into what's present. Like, I just feel like, anyways, it's beautiful that you can use something so simple like that.
Yeah.
To get those clarity, this clarity of all the answers that you're receiving. Yeah.
There's so much out there, so much. And it's this 6-month breast cancer coaching program has been phenomenal. And like, I absolutely love and adore Dr. V. And it's almost information overwhelm, not just from her program, but just what's out there. If you were to Google, you know, what cures cancer, and you're going to find a whole long list of things that can support in the healing of this, this healing opportunity. And it's challenging because there's just so many to choose from. You're just like, okay, well, which one's going to work for me? And I felt like I went into this space where I was wanting to do it all. I was doing coffee enemas every day and following it with ozone therapy. And there's just, you know, the biomat and the infrared sauna, making sure I walk half an hour. And part of macrobiotics is doing a body rub, or you take a hot towel to get your lymphatic system. You just rub every part of your body, and doing hot foot baths at night with some table salt to get the iodine. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's a full-time job.
Absolutely. Ooh. So now after sharing all that, like, what do you feel like, where are you now, and how did you get that to this perspective? Like, what gave you this?
I'm in a space where I'm wanting to do less and remove that overwhelm, because I think what's happening is the intention of my journey moving forward is like homeostasis, coming back to balance, allowing that parasympathetic nervous system to be activated, getting better sleep. And I find that juggling all these healing modalities and working with all these practitioners, it's almost creating more stress than it is calmness. And that's one of the big reasons why I'm really excited to go to Guatemala and Peru, is because it's like I'm going to be doing a few retreats with, you know, ISTA, where I get to be student and I get to not worry about like what I'm eating for that week, and I get to be in dance mode and connecting and sitting in rituals and being a recipient. And then following that, I get to go and do a week-long 10-day retreat with Moes, who's one of my all-time favorite music producers. And it's going to be yoga and meditation and ecstatic dance and cacao ceremonies. And I feel like that's medicine for the soul. And one thing that I do really appreciate Dr. V talking about, she's like, you know, she talks about the seven essentials, and food is one of them, looking at the food, what you're putting in your body. Also, the energetics, right? So, you know, she talks a lot about Joe Dispenza and like the meditation part and the mind and being able to master our thoughts and just pay attention. How am I speaking to myself right now? And so just taking some time off, I feel like is the next step for me moving forward and honoring my heart. And it was crazy because 3 days after I got the diagnosis, I had a Reiki session with another dear sister who just spoke so honestly what she was seeing. And it was exactly what I've been feeling around my relationship, which is I have such a deep, deep love for my partner who we met traveling, and we've traveled the world together, and we've created a wellness home together and a beautiful community together, which has kind of been our baby. And he's one of my best friends, and I adore the heck out of him and appreciate him so deeply. And I also realized that I'm feeling a completion with the romantic relationship, and my heart was just not in it anymore. And it took me, it's been 9 years since we've met, about 7 years since we've been married. And this diagnosis was a wake-up call, again, returning to like honoring my heart. And how often, even in the past, I stayed in relationships that like, I was like, no, it's time to move forward. So I feel really blessed that he is supporting me through this and just wants to see me healthy and is doing whatever it takes and is just a yes to transitioning into a new way of being with each other, which I feel so blessed, you know, to be in this situation. This the love and support from the community, and
listening to our bodies, listening to our hearts. I love that, because you hear that, right? Like, listen to your heart, you hear all these beautiful, like, they feel nice, but like, what does that mean? What does that look like? How are you acting when you're moving that way? And it's beautiful to get that realization within yourself to like actually listen to it, because your body's expressing and communicating to you something that wants to be heard and felt. There's something that you weren't listening to, and it's beautiful that you are listening now, and your body's feeling that. And it's just an exciting journey to see where it's transitioning, because you're just like I said, you're just growing and growing and growing. It's in the midst of all these realizations that most people would be like, oh my God, my 9-year relationship is over. Like, you know, just feeling all the things. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure you have felt all the things, but just moving them into this realization, back into yourself, ultimate self-love, which is amazing, because you do host self-love rituals and you're so beautiful at guiding people back into themselves. So I'm so happy you're doing that for yourself.
Thank you. Happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny because, you know, these self-love rituals and these ceremonies, there's something that I've been offering to the community. And it's just funny how sometimes the things that we offer are the things that we need the most ourselves, right? So it has been an epic journey of returning to self-love. And so it's been really sweet to have my virtual rituals that I do every Wednesday night on Zoom. And our Friday night dance rituals have been absolutely epic, which has been so much fun collaborating with you and our other sister queen, Lindsay Valley, and dancing is one of those things that has always been so, like, now I was just reflecting back on when I was a little girl, like, what were my dreams? Because I've been hanging out with my 5-year-old nephew, and he's so clear as to what his dreams are. And it's just going on about how he wants land, he wants cows, he wants goats to... I'm like, all right, kid, bring it. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, what were my dreams growing up? And I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a dancer, you know? And I did dance. I did ballet and jazz and tap and all those things. But finished high school, that was the end of it. And then I took on this mindset that in order to be successful, that I got to go to college and I need to get a degree in liberal studies. Felt like a good solid, you know, to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that felt, it was going to be consistent, and, you know, both my parents are teachers. And so I followed a path that I thought would work out well and make my parents proud. Mm-hmm. And now I'm realizing, I was like, wow, another time that I didn't honor my heart in terms of, like, following that dream. And that's why I feel so blessed to have, you know, another dear sister, my madrina, Giselle, who introduced me to the moon dance, where when I started singing, and singing these songs, which are prayers and ceremonies and rituals, and even recorded an album 2 years ago, which I would have never imagined ever doing something like that. And so I'm grateful to see how I'm returning to that. And right after I got this diagnosis, I was like, man, like, I want to continue this. I'm not gonna let what a doctor tells me, you know, put everything on pause, because that's been another huge thing. This new realization is I get to be my own authority, right? Like, a doctor can tell me that I've got this diagnosis, and then later another doctor tells me that I also have Hashimoto's thyroidism, which has to do with the autoimmune disease where the body attacks the thyroid. And I was like, really? Because I don't feel like I have this. I mean, I am experiencing some hair loss, but I'm also noticing a lot of people experiencing the same thing. And someone I spoke to, and she teaches German New Medicine. She was saying that this could have a lot to do with, like, just the time we're in with COVID and, you know, lack of oxygen, stress and all of that. So there's just so many health topics that so many people are facing, and especially with the jab thing that people are putting into their bodies, and that's, like, opens up a whole other bag of worms in terms of how this is affecting women's menstrual cycles, and how even people who aren't getting the jab are being affected by being around other women or people who have this. And it's crazy, because, you know, one of the things that I've always loved is my relationship to my menstrual cycle. And it wasn't always like this. With time, you know, especially with the yoni steaming and working with the yoni egg, and I just grew this new relationship to my bleed. And something that I've learned is that after that fasting that I did, it was a 30-day cascade fasting protocol. So it's one day of eating just fruits, and then one day of dry fasting, which means no food or water. 2 days of dry fasting, 2 days refeeding. 3 days dry fasting, 3 days refeeding. And I got to 3 days, and I was like, this is insane. Like, I don't know how anyone can make it beyond this. And I was like, no, I am absolutely dedicated. If this is what it takes then to starve the cancer, then, you know, this is what it takes. And did 4 days of dry fasting, 4 days refeeding, and I was ready to quit after that 4 days, and reconnected with another friend who was also dry fasting and introduced me to a book called The Phoenix Protocol. And after reading about how this author would dry fast astronauts before going to space, I was like, all right, okay, I'm going to I trust this. And made it all the way up to 5 days of dry fasting. But it was after that 3 days of dry fasting, which was last July of 2021, we're now in 22, mm-hmm. I have not bled. And it was, I know, from losing so much weight. And it's been really just like a little frightening. Like, am I going into early menopause? You know, I'm only 39 years old. What does this mean? You know, and one of the things that I'm learning from this journey is to just let go and trust my body's ability to heal. And that's one of the big messages of New German Medicine, which is looking at how the psyche connects to the brain and how the brain connects to the organs and how our bodies are fully capable of healing when we create a healthy environment for it. Both internally, you know, they talk about this terrain theory of if we're putting in toxic foods, toxic chemicals, whether it's into our foods or into our products that we put on our skin, toxic thoughts, like all of that is going to affect our health. So yeah, it's been juggling.
It's just like, yeah, it's just a lot.
It's a lot.
Oh, and I'm just so grateful that you get to transition into like all this overly stimulated parts of your head and your mind and your brain into like into your body, going into Ista and getting really embodied in yourself and your truth and your light. I want you to share a little bit about how you're weaving these realizations into your journey with Tantra and all of it.
Yeah.
Central healing.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So one of the rituals that I find really powerful at Ista, there's so many that it's really experiences that you just have to experience yourself. But one of the big ones is moving through emotions, right? And anytime you open up a sexual container with someone, whether it be casual or long-term, it awakens a lot of emotions, right? And the deeper we get into it, the more shadowy feelings come up, maybe around abandonment or jealousy or attachment, whatever these are. These are human emotions that I realized I have suppressed a lot growing up. And what I appreciate about Ista is that it creates a safe container to move through these emotions. And it's when we are able to move the stagnant energy, then that's when we could become a clear channel. And that's when we can really start tapping into our sensuality. You know, because how many times have you been in this situation with a lover? And maybe, well, I'll speak for myself, maybe I get into my head, you know? I start to think about, you know, is what I'm doing, was he liking it? I'm not really liking it, but I'm not going to say anything because I want him to think I'm liking it.
Definitely. Been there for sure.
So it comes back to just like speaking my truth and creating more depth, because I realize what happens is when I don't speak my truth, it creates superficialness. Superficiality, is that a word?
Yeah.
You know, and there's no space for deeper connection. And for me, the tantric practice, the reason why I got into it was because I was feeling a lack of connection with my partner. And I realized that it didn't have to do with just him. It had to do with me feeling a lack of connection to myself. And growing up Catholic and going to an all-girls Catholic school and being in a like a pretty traditional, you know, my dad comes from a big Mexican family, and I like sexuality. I remember making an oath in high school to one of my girlfriends that I would not have sex before marriage. And looking back now, I'm like, oh wait, they knew. Just like the direction my path has taken. So it's been just an eye-opener to really honoring the emotions and being super honest and you know, Tantra from one of my my teachers who also wrote the book Ganji Yoga. She was also my Ganji Yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
Dee, you know, she has this online course called Go Fuck Yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was, mm-hmm, it's such a beautiful way of returning to like the principles of Tantra, which, you know, are connecting the breath and the meditation and the movement. And I realized, you know, I've started studying Kundalini Yoga back in 2009, that Kundalini is a form of Tantra. And basically, it's an opportunity to really connect the spiritual body to the physical body and, like, remembering that we're more than just the physical. And just tuning into our connection to the divine. And when we do that, we're able to connect that Kundalini energy, that energy that sits at the base of our spine, that in our root chakra, and we start to invite in these fluid dynamic movements and do things like breath of fire and alternate nostril breathing. It awakens up our energy. It brings balance to the left and right hemispheres of our brain. It, for me, it just awakens my senses, and I'm just like, oh, this is what it's like to be alive, and this is what it's like to feel vibrant. And when we can start connecting to ourselves in that space, just magic starts to happen, and the connections we start making to others are just so incredibly beautiful. So people ask, like, what are your tantric rituals like? And it's very similar to my Wednesday night Zoom rituals, which originally started in our garden before COVID. But they're kind of similar to even our dance rituals, like starting in a seated position and being in a space of stillness and receiving that clarity of what is it that brought us here? And what intention are you wanting to plant, and bringing in the elements, starting with our breath and nourishing that intention with a long, deep breathing. And even speaking less, just like, all right, breathe in.
Let's take a deep breath together. Let's just do one together, just to feel that.
Lever of life, you know, and this is our life force energy, that it's the first thing we breathe as soon as we enter, and it's the last thing we experience as we exit. So it's just such a beautiful, it's one of those, I know, I feel like the breath has been very underrated, and I feel like there's been a burst of breath work and breath play practitioners coming through, which I'm really excited about, because sometimes I'll bring the breath work, breath play into the mix, because that's another activator. You know, when we're breathing in and out and just increasing the oxygen levels, and it's just so powerful to see what opens up and awakening sensations in the body. And so sometimes we'll bring in breath work, Kundalini yoga, you know, moving the body, dancing, and it's this concept of also weaving together these energies of the masculine, the feminine, the Shiva being that divine masculine, the Shakti being the divine feminine, and I'm like using my hands to create this helix formation, right, that also looks like this DNA strand, right, that weaves up our spine. And so the tantric practice is letting these two energies dance together, and essentially it's like creating this alchemical marriage, right, when they become one and united, and there's so much health and vibrancy when these two come together. And so there's that within ourselves, and then there's also uniting our energies with someone else. So we can do this with a really simple, beautiful practice of yabhyam. It's a seated practice where, and tantra can be practiced between a man and a woman and a woman, and a man and man. You know, we all have the energies of masculine and feminine within.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be practiced by on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this idea of really allowing ourselves to be in a space of vulnerability and to let ourselves be seen, felt, heard. And so in Yab-Yum, one person can be seated in a cross-legged position, and then the other person pretty much wraps their legs around their waist,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, or just like cuddling, and mm-hmm. like, and then the hands can come behind the heart, and then the person on the bottom can place the hands on the sacrum or behind the heart. There's a picture of this on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can find me with Marisa. Well, Miki's Tachti, which is a whole other story.
Definitely tying it up to the link. Don't worry. Yeah. Put it at the bottom.
Yeah. There's a picture of me and Yab-Yum with someone. And you can rest your forehead, your third eye, that space between your eyebrows, onto each other. And if you want to eye gaze in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might feel a little awkward because mm-hmm. you're just like not so used to being this close to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you can start with sinking your breath. And there's different breath practices. Maybe one person is inhaling as the other person is exhaling, mm-hmm. vice versa. And just creating that link between you two to establish that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually how I start off my sessions. And then we'll move into body work. And we'll put the person on the table and move through elemental touch. So, you know, looking at shamanic practices across the globe, something that you're going to see is the honoring of the elements.
Mm-hmm.
So connecting to the element of air and everything related to air, whether it be the birds, the bees, the butterflies, the breath, the wind, and then connecting to the element of fire and symbolically connecting to the serpent energy, right? That fire that rests in the heart and our belly, our digestion, and, you know, going back to that snake energy of just transformation, releasing, shedding. What are you offering into the fire?
Mm-hmm.
And then moving into the water, which is like, we are water. Where our earth is made out of 70-80% water.
That's how much our bodies are made
uh-huh.
up of water. I love that.
Yeah. And connecting to that fluidity, the fluidity of our emotions, right? And just letting them flow like water. Because I know in my experience, I've had a history of suppressing emotions and wanting to keep the peace and avoid any kind of confrontation. And
mm-hmm.
realizing how that actually creates a lot of disturbance internally and stagnation. So when we call upon the waters, it's like the cleansing, the waters, like our tears are so incredibly cleansing. So part of this healing journey has been giving myself permission to cry more, which has been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then earth, you know, from the foods that we eat to the land that we live on, to the materials that we use to build our homes, to the medicines, to the sage and, you know, everything that we burn at it. It's just, there's so much
mm-hmm.
that earth has to offer us, the unseen, you know, mm-hmm. earth mother goddess, Pachamama.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring in all these elements through touch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we're starting out, I like to start off with earthly touch. So it's just super like grounding, palm pressing, maybe starting with the feet or on the back, and just reminding this person then to connect to the air energy of breathing, connecting to releasing what's no longer serving with every inhale, just connecting to that intention that you're drawing in and dedicating this practice to. And also being okay with allowing any like feelings of pleasure, like to be a yes to that.
Mm.
I remember getting my first few massages and feeling myself enter into that state of turn on and be like, oh no, 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 no. I can't. That's wrong, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right? And the shame, like, oh my gosh. Ah. And then feeling my juices get ignited. I'm like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, why? Why? This is a sign that my body is healthy. Like, yes.
Yes.
So I always tell people, like, if you feel yourself go into that state of, like, turn on and pleasure, like, and we always talk about boundaries and desires and fears before entering into that zone. That's one of the beautiful tools I've received from ISTA is a conversation, they call it the RBDSM conversation. If you're going into, let's say, having a connection with someone who you feel like there may be some sensual play that's to happen, just opening up a conversation around, like, what is your relationship status? Yeah, let's just be real clear. True. Are you single? Are you got another woman or a partner somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
honesty, like, being, and you know, we're hoping that people are going to be honest about this. What are your boundaries, you know? And to be really clear with, like, what's your fuck yes, what's your fuck no, and honor that. D is, what are your desires? Yeah, maybe you just want to be cuddled. You know, there's so much healing in just being cuddled. Maybe you just want your hair to be caressed, or maybe you want a foot massage. Maybe you just want to drink some tea together. Maybe you want to go out for dinner. Maybe you want a massage. So just getting really clear as to what those desires are. RBDS, sexual history. So when was the last time you had yourself tested for any STIs, any sexually transmitted infections? You know, when was the last time you got that? And since then, was there any kind of risky behavior that maybe I need to know about that you'd like to share? And it just clears the space, you know, to start off a relationship with just being super honest. I think would have helped a lot in my early years of dating. And then the last one, M, is meaning. Like, what does this mean to you? What is it that you're desiring in terms of relationship? Are you looking for a long-term relationship, or are you just desiring a short-term recreational experience? And it's just, yeah, it's really great to be able to speak so clearly and honestly with someone. So not that those questions necessarily pertain to the tantric practice, but there are elements of that I do bring in terms of, like, what are your fears going into this? I know for me, if I receive receiving acupuncture, my fear is that, like, I'm not going to be able to relax, you know, that I'm going to be in my head too much. And I know that happens a lot for people. So sometimes just speaking that out loud is really helpful in just moving it through. So yeah, elemental touch, body work, and then completing with in front of the altar and just integrating, like, what came up during your experience. And and you know, there's different levels that I offer, and that usually is something that I have in conversation in person, just to gauge energetically if it feels like if it's a right fit in terms of exploring what what that may look like. So
beautiful. Thank you for sharing that wisdom. I like hearing that perspective, because too many people don't really, I know a lot of people don't know really what tantra is correctly, and not even correctly, just what it's been portrayed as one thing, like the Kuma Sutra, and into, like, but, like, we're realizing that that's one maybe tiny element, but it goes beyond what it is. And it's beautiful to see how you translate that with your clients and the ones that you connect with, and all your practices, like you said, even just connecting with your friend, just breathing and deeply, and, like, having doing the yum yum, and, like, with anybody, like I said, it's beautiful. So
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and every practitioner, I'm sure, has a different energy, different offerings. I know I received from a woman once, and she started off with some sound healing and, you know, brought out her singing bowls, and that was super relaxing. And She did what she called the king's bath. It was beautiful, and I've integrated this as well. We're integrating essential oils, right? So creating, you know, getting some hot water, putting some essential oils in it, just like wiping down the body. Mm. King's bath or queen's bath.
Yeah.
And it's really just igniting the senses as like a doorway to becoming more present, mm. right? Because when we're breathing in these essential oils and taking in this earth magic, like mm. becoming more present and connecting to whatever wisdom these plants hold. And I love, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about also going beyond the senses, right? To a place of like being nowhere and being no one, being no thing. And mm. that's where the magic happens, and really planting that desired future, which is basically like what our intentions are.
Mm.
So it's cool to see all the connections mm-hmm. to from like the cancer journey to the tantric practice to all of it, just like seeing the oneness. Mm. You know, it's something that we say, like, we're all one.
Yeah.
But I'm really been really feeling that lately. Like, it is all one.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I love, I really sort of truly enjoy how you weave these things together and just bring clarity there for everyone to hear and receive. Mm. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So what do you feel like, just to complete this beautiful session with you, what do you feel is going to come through after your journey? Just wanted to hear a little before so that mm-hmm. we can record the before, and then yeah. eventually we're gonna record another podcast and hear the after about all the expansions after sharing. So I just want to hear a little before.
For sure. I remember after I got this diagnosis, one of the facilitators of ISTA who I was in communication with, she said, and I've heard this a few times from other people, she said, "What an incredible initiation this is putting you on." And I was like, it does feel like an initiation. And then, you know, this conversation happened 7 months ago, and I've just been sitting with that again. What am I being initiated into? And going back to Miki Stochli is the name that I received after completing my fourth year of the Moon Dance, which was an initiation. And the names that we were given are based off of the day we were born, the date, the time, the location. So it's based on the alignment of the stars, right? They give you all of the different options of these words and now what. And there's certain combinations that they give. So the one that I received, they offered me three, and the one that I chose of those three was Miki Stochli. Miki Stochli in Nahuatl means death, and Tochli means bunny rabbit. And the way she explained it is, Tochli is about finding that sense of like gentleness and softness, and there's this feeling of abundance and fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And Miki Stochli, death, it's also in the sense of transmutation and transformation. Like when you go into a deep state of meditation, you know, what is it that you're transmuting? And I've just been really meditating on this name, Miki Stochli, which I get to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things that, of course, comes up with cancer, and I'm sure any other illness, dis-ease, is death, right? There have been times where I'm like, is this how I'm going to transition out of this body, is mm. through cancer?
Mm.
And there have been moments of deep, deep fear and grief and anxiety and frustration. It just has taken me through a whole array of emotions, and I realize I'm getting to the other side where death, especially having that 5-MeO experience, if that is what death is like on the other side, is orgasmic bliss and love and union with the Creator and a return to the divine, then I'm good, y'all. We're all good. And I've heard and listened that there's been people that talk about like death, it's almost this like failure, right? Like people go into the hospital and they die, like doctors, they failed at saving that person's life. And it's so sad to see, you know, children transition at a young age, which for the people who are loving these people who are trans, yes, it is absolutely incredibly difficult to lose someone that you love. And I realized that this experience is really having me look at death from a new lens. And I'm feeling like this initiation is calling me forth to really support people in experiencing, not necessarily, it's funny because I have a friend who, another sister who's a death doula and supports people in transitioning. And, you know, part of the massage, the body work that I offer is abdominal massage and chi nitsang and abdominal Mayan healing. And this is actually also used to support people in transitioning. So I'm realizing there's all these tools that I've picked up along the way that actually are supporting people in transitioning. So I don't know if that's what I'm going to be stepping into. However, I feel like it is shifting my relationship as to how I feel with death, and it feels a little less scary having been through all the motions. And one of the things that I know that this experience is, it's like walking into the mouth of the serpent, right? And like when we have these fears, can we completely bow down and say, I respect you, which was something, a beautiful one. My another sister was called me when I was in the midst of just tears and being in this state of fear. And she was like, Matt Kahn, this other teacher, her therapist was like, talked about this concept of like just having deep, deep respect for these emotions, right? And like, I see you, I feel you, I hear you. And when we can shift our relationship to that of respect versus not wanting to feel it, and what's the word, resistance, you know, the whole lot, which you resist, persist. So true, you know. So when we could shift our relationship to that, just the beauty that comes through. So yeah. And then one last thing I'll say to answer that question, I'm just reflecting on like what else is this initiating me into. I feel like it's initiating me into really owning my power as a medicine woman, because, you know, I went from teacher to librarian for 8 years, which I loved, to body worker and kundalini yoga instructor, now bringing all those pieces together. And I do guide people through experiences with different plant medicines, and to weave the medicine songs and the body work and the yoni steaming and the oracle card readings and the essential oils. And it's just having this beautiful chest of instruments, you know, my voice being included, and storytelling. And it's just really cool to see how I'm like, oh, all right, this is fun. I get to be in a space of play where I get to support others on this healing journey, because pretty soon, you know, cancer is an epidemic, you know. It's like almost pretty soon, 1 out of 2 people, that's 50% of us that are going to be dealing with this. So I get to experience this from the inside out, and I know there's so many different ways of addressing this. From, you know, the doctors told me their recommendation was chemo and radiation and surgery, and, you know, this is another opportunity to honor my heart, which is, that's not my path. And I get and honor that medicine that has helped others. And I get to honor myself, which is choosing the holistic path, where I get to dive into looking at it from the emotional aspect and nutritional and all of the other energetics of healing the body on, and the soul on every single level.
Thank you so much for... All right, if you'd like to guide us in a few deep breaths together here.
Finding a comfortable seat wherever you're at. And as you breathe in, taking that breath all the way down into your root. feeling yourself connected to the earth, whether it's through your sit bones or your feet. And as you exhale, just releasing the breath and connecting to that feeling of letting go, relaxing even deeper into the moment. Letting the breath become relaxed and carrying this relaxed breath forward. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Miki Tochli.
Miki Tochli.
No, I forgot this. When you get back, I'm getting
it. It took me a while to learn how to say it, so.
Okay, it's sister good. Queen.
Yeah.
Where could my soul fam find you? Mm-hmm. You are the part of the soul fam as well. Where can they find you?
Yeah. So, my middle name is Anita, Marisa Anita. So I have a website, anitare.la. It's Anita, AnitareyLA mm-hmm. is my website. And my Instagram is Miki Stochli, but I think I'm going to probably change it to something that's easier for people to find. But if you were to type in Marisa Anitare, mm-hmm. It should come up.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll definitely put it in the description so they can get the specifics. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Blessings.
Yeah, thank you.
Love you. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like it or share it, whatever you feel inspired to do. My intention here is to spread more light, more awareness, more compassion, and love. Thank you. Sending you so much love.